We wanted to have some fellowship this morning based on one of the burdens from the summer training. When Brother Ed was here, we fellowshiped with him of our concern to be perfected in the matter of prophesying. And he said that in the summer training, they would touch this matter. And both message one and message two, the brothers fellowshiped on this point, especially in message two. So I think we all realize our responsibility to build up the church by speaking, by prophesying in the meetings of the church. This is very clear in the Word. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, "If therefore the whole church comes together, like we are this morning, if all prophesy, and some unbeliever or unlearned person enters, he's convicted by all." Then in two verses later, he says, "What then, brothers?" In other words, how should the meeting be? He says, "Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue. Let all things be done for building up." Amen. In other words, this kind of meeting is what builds up the church. Amen. We realize that building up the church is the responsibility of all of us. Amen. Just like in the Old Testament, the tabernacle and the temple were built up by the whole nation of Israel. There wasn't one gifted person that built the whole temple. There wasn't one gifted person that built the whole tabernacle. God gave the pattern, and the whole nation pitched in to help. Amen. This is the picture of our responsibility today. So, we know in 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, "He who prophesies builds up the church." This is one of the most unique verses in the New Testament that tells us how to build the church. Do you want to know how to build up the church? He who prophesies builds up the church. So this is our responsibility. This is our obligation. Then Paul charges all the believers to pursue. He says, "Seek that you may excel for the building up of the church." And by that he means seek that you may excel in prophesying. Then in verse 1 in chapter 14, "Desire earnestly, especially that you may prophesy." Paul never says to desire that we can prophesy. He always says to desire that we may prophesy. He says, "Pursue that you may prophesy, and desire earnestly the prophesying." But there's one verse that says that we can. This is really good news. You can all prophesy. Amen. And if you read the whole chapter of chapter 14, you realize not only we all can, but we all should. This is the way the church is built. Now I want to read specifically a point from the outline on the summer training. It says on message two, "We must learn and be perfected to prophesy with the constituting elements of prophesying for the building up of the church as the body of Christ." So on the one hand, we have the capacity. We have the ability to prophesy. But that doesn't mean that we know how. That doesn't mean we don't need perfection. Just like in our human life, we have a lot of capacity as a human being, but even though we have the capacity, we're not able to do much as a child because we need to learn, we need to be perfected. We have the capacity to speak a language, but we don't just automatically speak. I had to take years of English to learn how to speak, how to write, learn all the grammar and all that. Of course, I don't remember much, but to some degree, we were all perfected to speak a language. Amen. Because we were born with that capacity. Amen. But it took some perfecting, it took some learning. It's the same with our spiritual life. We're born again with the capacity to prophesy. But we need to be perfected. So the co-workers spoke to this matter of perfecting us. And the next point says we must write down daily the spiritual enlightenment, inspiration, and enjoyment received from the Lord in His Word. And then at the end of the week, put these points together to compose a prophecy of no longer than 3 minutes. And this is a matter that is difficult for all of us. We all, when we begin to speak, we all speak beyond what we should speak. I speak a lot all around the world, and I always have this problem, to speak more than I should, to speak more than the time limit. So we all need to be perfected in this, because when we begin to speak, our perception of time gets distorted. We have an inaccurate perception. That's why I keep a watch on the table, so I don't go too long. So praise the Lord that we can be perfected in this.
Amen.
Paul adjusted the believers in Corinth in their speaking for one purpose, for the building up of the body. Yes. He didn't use his authority haphazardly. He didn't use his authority in a random way. He used it specifically for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. And he realized that in Corinth, there was too much speaking in languages that people didn't understand. How can that build up the church? So he limited it in a very specific way. He said it should be by two or at the most three. So the brothers, Brother Lee particularly, gave us this guideline, no longer than 3 minutes. So he did that for the purpose of the building up of the church. So we would like to honor this guidance from the co-workers. And in 2 Corinthians 10:8, Paul says, concerning our authority which the Lord has given for building you up, not for overthrowing you. And in chapter 13, verse 10, he said, the authority which the Lord has given me for what? For building up, not for overthrowing. So this restriction in our prophesying is not to overthrow us. It's to build up the church. Amen. This is our goal, and this is God's goal in our age.
Amen.
You know, when we prophesy, we don't intentionally exceed the time limit. None of us has a bad intention or a bad purpose. But it's like I said, when we're speaking, we're not aware of the time. So that's why we need some help. So we brothers decided in our prophesying meeting, both in English and Chinese, we would have the person at the piano give us a signal. So when 2 minutes are up, we get a warning signal. And then when 3 minutes are up, we get another signal, which is not a warning, it's a deadline. Or I should say a lifeline.
Amen.
And you may be concerned that you will be embarrassed if the piano sounds while you're speaking. You may lose face. Well, the way to not lose face is to prepare. Prepare a prophecy, even practice a prophecy before the meeting. So you know how long it will be, and you won't be embarrassed by the piano going off. Praise the Lord. This is how we take care of the body. This is what we mean by body consciousness. If I speak for 30 minutes and then there's only 30 minutes left, how many more saints can speak? But it's by all the saints speaking that the body's built up.
Amen.
Praise the Lord that we can honor the co-workers leading in this.
We would just continue our brother's fellowship. The title Dexter mentioned of number two, message two in the recent summer training was the practice of prophesying for the building up of the church as an exceedingly great army.
Amen.
The title in and of itself just means there's a battle going on.
Amen.
And the battle is for prophesying. And prophesying in and of itself seemingly is not related to a warfare, but it is. It very much is, and Dexter mentioned the time limit, the guidelines, and so forth, the distortion of time when you get up here. That's so true. Because when you stand up here, you say to yourself, and I say, and I've said to myself, okay, 7 minutes, or 15 minutes, or 1 hour. I just shared last weekend in Athens, and I said, okay, I'll stop at 1 hour. I shared a message. And that I thought I was right at 7. I started at 7:20, so I thought I would stop at 8:20. And the brothers came and gave me the little, hey. Anyway, you get distorted. Okay, so you have to do what? You have to prepare. So I wanted to give you a few things. What is prophesying? To help you in your preparation. What is prophesying? Number one, prophesying is to speak for God. It's not to give a testimony. There are places in the church life for testimonies, but prophesying is to speak for God. Amen. And it is to speak forth God. And it is to, and this verse here I have in 1 Timothy, it is to minister Christ or to speak Christ into one another. This is 1 Timothy, listen to this footnote. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, and it says, a minister of Christ is one who serves people with Christ. Ministering Christ as Savior, life, life supply, and every positive thing to people. Now, it differs from a teacher of the law. We're not here trying to teach one another. There is that aspect, especially in Ephesians chapter 4, but really what we are focusing on is ministering Christ as life. I read this verse in Acts, and it says this. Peter was testifying concerning Christ, and he said this. In the footnote in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, says this. Here we are told that Peter testified and entreated people. To testify needs experiences of seeing, participating, and enjoying Christ. This is different from mere teaching. I hope that we don't have this attitude that we have to teach one another, but rather we have to minister Christ to one another. What does a prophecy consist of? Dexter gave you that aspect. I'll give you this aspect. There is the need for us to get into the Word of God. Dear saints, I hope that we really practice reading the Bible. I read the Bible, number one. Number two, we need to have the inspiration of the Spirit. That means that when we stand up here, we have to exercise our spirit. Because some things that we plan to say, we may not say. And some things that we don't plan to say, we may say. So we have to be what? Aware that it is the Spirit that is speaking. And then number three, we need to have a clear view, dear saints, of many things, but especially of the divine revelation concerning Christ, the mysteries of God, Christ, the mystery of God, Christ, and the mystery of Christ, the church. Then we need to have a real awareness of who we are. We are nothing, but He is the great I am. Amen. So when we stand up here to prophesy, we trust in the I am. Amen. We don't trust in what we are, what we can do, our natural ability, our capability, or anything like that. This kind of speaking is what the outline says in message number 2 in the training, miraculously normal. Why is it normal? It's normal because we have our part, our human part, we get into the Word of God. It's miraculous because we have to be aware that at any moment the Spirit may do this. Boop. That means economically rest on us as the inspiration to be the Word that needs to be spoken at that particular moment. So anyway, we wanted to just fellowship these matters to help us in our prophesying. I would like to underscore what Dexter said, which is on the outline. A prophecy is?
To
2 minutes. And then you have a minute to wind down. Don't wind up. Then I would say this. There is always an opening and a closing. The opening word, based on this outline, based on the fellowship from Brother Lee, is this, and the co-workers is this. If you are selected, brothers, to do an opening, then that opening should only, it's an opening, it's not a message. So you don't have to cover every point. It is 5 minutes, no more than 8 minutes. Amen, David? You agree? Good. I'm so happy you agree. So, saints, when we stand up, we don't want to hear, and I don't mean this, please forgive me as I say this, please understand as I say this, we don't, the prophesying is not to speak about Aunt Lucy's great big toe and how the Lord healed it, although there is that aspect. But that is a testimony that needs to be spoken at another time. But in the prophesying meeting, we're in a warfare. And we are here to build up the body of Christ. So what? We need to pick up these elements of what we are doing in that meeting and adhere ourselves to the guidelines and to the structure or the constituents or the content or the something of what a prophecy is. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you're not offended with me or Dexter. We're just the messengers. Amen. Don't shoot the messengers. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, I think Otz will sit up here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a good word, saints. Amen. May we all seek earnestly to build up the church by the prophesying. So we really appreciate this word of perfection.